This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, the benefits and drawbacks of dry January. But first, 2017 was a busy year for Cincy Stories. The nonprofit organization, which hosts storytelling events, moved into a new gallery in Price Hill, started two new partnerships, and recently launched a podcast. In between all that, they captured dozens of stories from people living in Price Hill and won an Emmy for their work. Here to talk about Cincy Stories' expanding mission are Executive Director Sean Braley, Creative Director Chris Ashwell, and Price Hill resident Jen Chandler. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Sean, good afternoon. Great to see you.
Good to see you too,
Jen,
Mark.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for
And Chris,
me.
Good to see you again.
Thanks
for being here this afternoon. So congratulations to you on winning the Emmy.
Thank you.
How did
you.
That come about?
So it was a few years ago that they changed the rules in the Emmy procedures that things that weren't broadcasted on television could be submitted. So when we found that out, we are producing this web content, and so we applied for an Emmy. It was a tough competition. We were up against some really major market television stations, and we ended up winning, which was just an incredible honor.
Yeah. Sean, how'd that feel to you?
I mean, it felt encouraging and empowering to be able to see that other people saw this content that we were making as not only important for the community, but also important like for the broader context of journalism.
Why did you start Cincy Stories? How did this whole thing come about?
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard this before, Mark, but Cincinnati is the fifth most segregated city in our country. Just where people live, where they shop, where they eat, everything is, we just live in a very segregated city. And so we started Cincy Stories as a way to try to combat that, to bring people together from whatever background they're coming from and get them to empathize with each other, break down walls, and build connections through individuals who call Cincinnati home.
Chris, tell us about the new gallery that you moved into in Price Hill. Describe that to us.
It's not currently open in Price Hill, but we opened it up last summer. And we were open for 6 months. And what our story galleries are, we kind of call them like a combination between a art gallery, living room, and coffee shop, where people can come in, get a free cup of coffee, warm up if it's cold outside, you know, whatever it is, and watch stories of their neighbors. There's a story booth where people can share their own stories and record their own stories. There's a really nice lounge area where people can just hang out, and we have these story starters that, you know, have tell me a story about a time you disappointed your parents or a time that, you know, you got your first job. Stories that most of us have some kind of reference point for. And it's amazing. We had one in Walnut Hills. We had one in Price Hill. And now we're going to be opening one in Lower Price Hill. And it's just really encouraging to see neighbors come in. People get really, really excited to see their neighbor stories. It's one of my favorite things when somebody says, you know, I've seen this person every day at the grocery store. I see this person on the corner every day. I had no idea that they were a former professional baseball player. I had no idea this story about them. So it's really encouraging to see neighbors interacting on that level.
I want to play an example of one of the stories that you collected. This happens to be Buddy LaRosa. So let's hear from Buddy.
I'm Buddy LaRosa, and I'm the founder of LaRosa's. It's always been a passion of mine to one day go into my own business. I had the good fortune of coming from family businesses. My dad had a Finley Market stand, and he also had a truck where he used to haul produce from the rail cars to whoever would buy it. My dad thought I'd, you know, go get into the produce business with him. And I said, you know, Dad, I think I'm going to open up a pizza bar. He said, you crazy? I said, these people in this town aren't going to buy pizza. I choose to live on the west side because those are my fondest memories growing up on the west side. I've lived in every community on the west side. A rebirth in Price Hill. I can see it. Price Hill, you can see new buildings coming up. You can see older buildings being refurbished. They always say West Side's the best side, but there's always been East-West controversies, you know. The East is supposed to be a little more sophisticated. I don't know about that. On the West Side, we're a little more basic taste. Not where you live, it's how you live. That's the most important thing, is how you live, not where you live.
Did you approach Buddy about doing this, or did he come to you to do this, Sean?
Yeah, we had reached out to actually, we were at Price Hill Chili, and we were talking to the owner of Price Hill Chili because we wanted to do a story there, and that's the place where folks in West Price Hill especially, but most of Price Hill, hang out all the time. We were talking to the owner there. His name's Steve, and we were just like, hey, do you happen to just have any connections to, and we named like a couple people in the neighborhood, and Buddy LaRosa was one, and he was like, I know Buddy LaRosa's assistant or something like that, and he gave me her email. And so we reached out to Buddy because we knew he lived in East Price Hill. He had had a lot of experience in West Price Hill and East Price Hill. And he, we wanted to get his story to share as part of this project.
I think it's a great story. His dad thought he was crazy for going into the pizza business.
He really did introduce pizza to that's part of the story that I didn't know was, mm-hmm. was at the time pizza was like an ethnic specialty food. So they had no idea, it was something that was not, now it's just like, oh, pizza. Yeah, it's just part of our culture. But at the time when he was opening up the place, he said the only time you would find pizza was at Italian Catholic festivals, and that was it. So it was a risk, and it was something that he had to really introduce people to.
Yeah, thank God for Buddy LaRosa.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, exactly. Jen, what's this meant to the community to have Cincy Stories come in and collect all these stories?
Now, Cincy Stories, when they came in, a lot of people feared it. They didn't know what they was taking stories for and what they was going to use them for. My take on it, when they took the stories and put it in a positive light and just try to bring attention to addiction and people better in their lives, it opened so many people's eyes and positive inputs came from it. So it's done a lot to bring people together and give each other that support that we need, other than bringing people down and downing each other for our mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to do a lot of convincing to get people to do this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, not necessarily. Jen hit a great point, and that is when we come into neighborhoods, especially people who have been marginalized historically in the past or people who, in communities who, there's a lot of trust issues. And so coming in and just saying like, hey, can we have your story?
And can we put you on camera?
And can we put you on camera, or can we put a microphone in front of your face?
Sure.
Yeah, there's an instant and understandable lack of trust, and so they need to realize that we're what our purposes are, and we don't have an agenda. Like our only agenda is to hear your story and share that story with others. So once you break down those walls and once you kind of get the trust, then it really flows out of people.
Mm-hmm. So how many stories did you end up have you collected to this point?
Total?
Yeah.
We're in the hundreds at that point, from videos that we've made to the story booth stories to the live events that we've done. We're in the hundreds.
And how many in Price Hill?
In Price Hill, we did around 60. Mm-hmm. So we did 10 videos for each neighborhood, and then we have some audio stories and a few other multimedia content in there as well.
Okay, and what kind of reaction are you getting from people in the community about what you're doing?
It's incredibly positive. Yeah, I mean... we had a big event to kind of capstone the Price Hill project. We had a Price Hill People Celebration at the Warsaw Incline Theater. And the reaction, it was so great when people would come up to us afterwards and they would say things like, I've lived in Price Hill my whole life and I've never been really proud, but I watch these stories and I'm proud to live where I live. I want to share these stories with others who live in other parts of the city. Obviously we've heard a ton of people, the storytellers themselves, just feeling empowered, just a huge part of what we do is empowerment. So often people don't feel like their stories matter, that sure, we do get the politicians and the businessmen stories and things like that, but just getting somebody like Jen's story, it adds a huge amount of empowerment and makes people feel like they're actually part of their community.
Have you ever had somebody share their story and then decide, I don't want you to share it after all?
Yeah, we've had a little bit of pushback, not much.
Yeah. We try to let people know up front, like, this is our purpose with this. And usually people kind of get that and they'll say no from the get-go. Not too many people have not wanted their story shared after we've kind of sat with them and gotten their story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now tell us about the ongoing partnership that you formed with the Cincinnati Public Library. I think this revolves around kids telling stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're doing story workshops with kids. And so we did a kind of a beta testing of this in the fall. We actually brought on a youth outreach coordinator. His name's John Mabry. And he's kind of leading the charge there. And we're starting in Walnut Hills now to do a 6-week program there, where we're going to just teach kids how to tell their story, kind of let them know that we want to hear their story, but also let them listen to each other's stories and kind of try to build empathy amongst each other. And there was some amazing stories that came out of just that beta testing that happened. I'll let Chris share one of those that he was able to witness.
Yeah. When we were in Walnut Hills, you know, our mission statement is building community through story. So any way that we can fulfill that mission is great for us. And in Walnut Hills, at the library, we had a moment where we were having people share from our story starter cards. And one of them is, tell me a time that you let a friend down, I think. And she's probably 9 years old. She got up and she shared the story about how she let a friend down. And what we didn't know was that this was something that had happened like that day. And so her friend got up and shared her version of the story. And then afterwards, they had this huge embrace and they were crying and hugging. And it was just this incredible moment of like, that was community building right in front of our eyes. The power of sharing your stories and sharing stories from different perspective and then actually healing divides with children. And like we said, a huge part of this is empowerment. There's probably not a segment of the population that feels less empowered to share their stories than kids.
And Chris, that has to make you feel good too.
Very good. Yeah.
It made you having an impact.
Yeah. And what was amazing was, you know, at that same they shared that same story over again during the program through kind of finger puppets that they made. And the librarian came up to us afterwards and she said, and she had tears in her eyes. And she said, we don't get to see these kids very often play and act like kids. They have such real problems and such real stress in their lives that it's so rare that we just see them play. And so that was just a huge accomplishment for us.
Yeah, and you're also working on a partnership with the Cincinnati Museum Center as well.
Yeah.
Tell us about
that. Yeah, we started that during the Holiday Junction. So the museum brought us in. We built a story booth. We consulted on some story starter cards there that all were based around the holidays. And so we gathered hundreds of stories even just there from kids and adults all about the holidays. Some of them focused directly on Cincinnati and some of them focused just on general holiday functions that they or stories they had from the holidays. And we're going to continue that every holiday season with them, but we're hoping to work out something where we can continue more of a deep partnership. We just haven't figured out what those details are yet.
When you were starting to brainstorm this idea, Sean, did you ever think it would get this far along? That it would reach this point?
We dreamt. That was literally the museum center. I remember Chris and I, we were sitting at Cafe de Sales in East Walnut Hills.
Our office for many years.
Yeah. And we were just dreaming up like, well, where could this be? Where would we love to see this? And the museum center was one of our top places that we hoped we would end up.
We're talking about Cincy Stories with Executive Director Sean Braley, Creative Director Chris Ashwell, and Price Hill resident Jen Chandler. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jen, you also got to share your story as part of the Cincy Stories project, so I want to hear that.
It's hard to forget people in addiction. We do a lot of wrong because it's not just something, a choice you make one day and you just choose to be messed up all your life. My name is Jennifer Chandler. I'm a resident in Price Hill. I'm currently staying in sober living in Upper Price Hill. I've been employed with Block Ministries now a month. They try to help people re-enter into the community. I was using drugs, so I got 30 days clean. I got a 30-day-old baby. I was 5 months pregnant. I kept going to emergency room. I was bleeding. Weird things was happening. I knew shouldn't be happening while I was pregnant. I was in early labor. They tried to stop it. They couldn't. They told me I would not be able to walk out of hospital with my daughter, but I could still fully be in her life. As long as I keep showing that I'm doing good, they would give me my daughter. I came from a family that's been in prison a lot and that violence is okay. I came from a family that's addicts. So there came the streets, and then with the streets came drugs. With the drugs came older men. So I started having sex, I started smoking crack, and that was the way I fitted in. So it kind of entered me into the lifestyle. And then I seen the money that came with it, and everybody loved that I got money. And as a child, you just want to be accepted. So then I got into the escort service. And by 14, I was doing shows for the escort service and smoking crack and popping pills. And I'm just getting high with my mom and my uncles and aunts. And it was life.
Wow, Jen. How's your child doing these days?
She's 4.5 months now. Oh. She's over 8 pounds. She was 1.5 pounds when she was born. So she is going to be coming home to me now. Thanks to actually the community, to New Foundation Sober Living, and the light that Cincy Stories have brought to my story was so positive. And Block Ministries giving me the work and working around my schedule and just working with me and bringing God into my life. But she's overcame so much. They say she have traits of cerebral palsy and chronic lung disease. There's no traits of that now. She's becoming a normal, healthy baby. And I didn't think they was going to let me keep her. So just kept going every day, you know, trying to stay clean, struggling every day just to learn real life, living life on life's terms. And it ain't all perfect, but I'll be able to keep my baby. And I got 3 other children that I'm able to be involved with. So, I mean, a lot's come with it.
How tough was it for you to tell your story?
Very tough. I only had 30 days clean. At this point, I was still trying to figure out even how to stay clean. So they wanted to do a story, and I'm like, why would you want to do a story? You know, what can you get from my story? But after they aired this story, I was grateful that I did it. So many responses on the inspiration that people got from it, the hope that they got from it. It was like, okay, this is what recovery is about. We're supposed to help the next person. Our story is supposed to help somebody. And even where I don't feel strength, other people seen it. So the story not only helped them, it helped me. So,
Were you a little concerned people would judge you for this particular story?
Most definitely. I was on the streets using. I went to sober living a day after I had her. So it's like, why couldn't I get clean? Why I was pregnant? Why do it now? So I was like, people's just looking at me in that light. But after they aired the story, that ain't the response that people gave me. They're like, not.
What did you get?
Jen, not many women would have just turned their life around for a baby. The hope and, Jen, I wish my parents could have did this. Jen, you know, I hope that my brother makes this choice. I hope that my sister makes this choice. And just the strength that they gave me behind it, like, just keep going. People have definitely reached out for my daughter. Autumn is definitely a miracle. So
Autumn.
Autumn. Autumn ocean breeze.
Beautiful. Chris, what's your favorite part of this story?
My favorite part of the story is the fact that what really touched me, I think, is Jen, when she saw her baby struggling to stay alive, when you first had your baby, and that was the thing that made you change. Like, that's what you said, that how can I not choose to struggle and work towards what I need if this little baby, this infant, can sit here and struggle for life? How can I not work to make my life better for this child? And so that really impacted me a lot. Mm-hmm. And like I said, one of my favorite, you know, it was commented on and shared and liked hundreds of times. One of my favorite comments was somebody that you were actually in jail with. you were in jail with this person, and they said specifically, like, Jen and I did not get along when we were in jail, and they didn't like each other. But now I've heard her story, and now I've heard what she's been through, and I relate to her, and I am now praying for you, and I'm now rooting for you. And so it's just a really great example of how stories can really touch people. Mm-hmm.
So they approached you about telling your story? Is that?
Yeah, they approached me, and I knew a lot of other people in recovery that was talking to them, and it kind of made me easy to do it. But I was still hesitant because not because of their motives, because I knew their motives was good, about what the neighborhood would think of it. Like, I would only let them do it on certain streets and stuff like that. But now that I know that the positive light around it, I would be way more willing. You know, I've seen the outcome of it now. And I think that's just what people need to know, is that their motives and is positive. They're just bringing light to how people could get out of addiction.
Yeah, it's a story of hope, isn't
yeah.
it, Sean?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it makes me emotional just thinking that again, going back to, we were having those coffee shop conversations about what we dreamt could happen. And we, being in the museum center, being in the library, those are cool connections. But seeing somebody like Jen share her story of hope, but also see connections and see her come alive in that. That I'm more proud of that than anything else we can do.
We have another story I want to get to here, and this one is Tracy Walker, who's a local singer and songwriter.
I'm Tracy Walker. I live in Price Hill, East Price Hill to be specific. I am a musician, among many other things that I use to identify myself, I suppose, but that's one of the ways that I put together my, my cornucopia of my financial life. And I've had a lot of jobs. I've got dogs, and I love animals and nature. Really love taking things apart and putting them back together. I used to get in trouble for that as a kid. So I find that I write a lot about love, and I write a lot about moving through things, or even in a lot of my sad songs or songs that are about something that's difficult, there always seems to be this sort of, but we're going to get here, or this then happened. So. And maybe that's just reflective of my own attitude, I think, about life, and also what I want to be true about life. That, yeah, this is hard, and it's temporary, or there's things to be learned, and there's another day or a better time ahead.
Yeah, that was Tracy Walker's story, the great musician from Price Hill there. She was just blocks away from our storefront, and I've loved her for years now. We've followed her music and everything for years. So we were excited to be able to highlight her story as well.
Yeah. And it sounds like, again, this is another story that's got some inspiration and some hope built into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she touched on, you know, there were kind of two things that we could not ignore when we started this project in Price Hill. And that is heroin epidemic in Price Hill. It's been hit particularly hard. And issues around race in Price Hill. And her story in particular, where she grew up, she experienced a lot of racism. She has she comes from a multicultural family, multiracial family. And just her view on where Price Hill is right now and the ways that it can be better, but also the ways that we can celebrate it were really inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, we got a call from Melissa, and she said, when you have somebody who says they don't have a story.
Yeah.
What?
It's a lie.
Everybody's got a story.
That's what we hear a lot. Yeah.
What do you say? What kind of questions do you ask to get them talking? I know you've given some examples earlier, but what are some of the other things you do?
You know, it when we're making the videos in particular, you know, the live events we work with storytellers, and we really help them flesh out that story. With the videos, it's a little bit easier because we can, you know, interview them for, it's going to be a 5-minute piece. So we can interview them for a half an hour and make them feel comfortable and ask the right questions, get them to turn around to a story. But yeah, I mean, really it is just making somebody feel comfortable, making somebody realize that, you know, it doesn't have to be a climbing Mount Everest story to be something that's interesting and have value. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Ira Glass says, great stories happen to those who can tell them, which means that great stories happen to everybody. You just sometimes need to, you know, be coaxed on how to share that story.
What's the eventual goal, Sean, for Cincy Stories?
I mean, we'd love to be doing this in every neighborhood. We'd love to, the dream would be for Cincy Stories to be a part of helping Cincinnati become less segregated, helping Cincinnati become one city rather than like us combating or just spending time not together, and that we would understand each other, love each other. That's kind of the bigger goal. But I mean, we'd love to just be doing this work in every neighborhood and seeing stories like Jen's be highlighted to the rest of the city.
Chris, have you had any other cities say, we're interested in what you're doing?
We have.
We would like to try this.
Yeah, we've had some people reach out to us from a few other kind of regional cities, Indianapolis and Columbus, and have showed some interest in. Yeah, I mean, it's not Cincinnati specific at all. I mean, anywhere in the country, this kind of programming can work. It really is just a matter of getting people together and encouraging them to share their stories. So yeah, it can happen in many other cities. Mm-hmm.
What's the next neighborhood? Do you have any thoughts about where you'd like to go?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be going to Avondale. Okay. So we're really excited to be able to go there. We've been talking with Uptown Consortium and the Avondale Community Development Corporation about going out to Avondale.
And you've got an event coming up?
Yeah, yeah. 1 week from today, so February 6th at the Woodward Theater at 7 p.m. Totally free event. And we have Yvette Simpson sharing a story. We have Cal Cullen of Wavepool, Scott Holzman from Chase Public, Kick Lee, Peace from Black Seeds, and remind me of who's our other storyteller.
Let me see here.
Imam Ishmael from
Imam Ishmael. Yeah, and Lauren Ellis for music, which we're really excited about too.
Yeah.
And if people want to find out more about Cincy Stories, what's the website?
You can go to cincystories.org or you can find us on Facebook.
Okay. I meant to ask you too, Jen, you guys had a December 9th event, right, where people were sharing stories. Did you share your story at that event?
No, I did not share, but I got to go and watch other people I know share their stories.
Yeah.
And it was just a great experience. Just seeing other faces in Price Hill, like, there, like, okay, I'm not the only one. So it was just great seeing other people's struggle and see them improve their life and be able to highlight it.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
Sean, thank you. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Cincy Stories Executive Director Sean Braley, Creative Director Chris Ashwell, and Price Hill resident Jen Chandler.